Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Achtung, Achtung, Christmas is a coming, dear listeners. And to quote Richard Chaplow, 26 appearances, 9 subs, 1 goal, as he once said, you cannot beat a good board game. And we've got a good board game for you here. Achtung has teamed up with a tremendous football trivial pursuit style game called Pundit. You can follow Pundit at Pundit Games on Twitter. And it's a really nice little game, actually. It's a board game. It consists of football trivia questions, easy and hard. Some of the hard ones are very, very hard. And you move along a football pitch to score goals against your opponent. It will suit the football head in your life, dear listeners. Great way to pass a Christmas afternoon. You can get a 10% discount if you visit punditgames.co.uk. That's P-U-N-D-I-T. G-A-M-E-S, punditgames.co.uk. Get a 10% discount at checkout with the code LIONS in capital letters. LIONS, capital letters. And every sale will benefit the Lions Food Hub. What a better way to pass your Christmas than to enjoy a good football trivia game and to know you're doing good at the same time. So get on it, punditgames.co.uk.
Hi, I'm Gary Rowett, and you're listening to the world-famous Acton Millwall.
Good morning, dear listeners. Sunday morning and mid-World Cup Acton Millwall for you. Joining me today, special guest Ben Anthony. Welcome back to the show, Ben.
Hello, Nick. How you doing?
I'm getting a bit World Cup fatigued, Ben, to be honest. We're foregoing the joys of Japan versus Costa Rica, which is 0-0, as you and I are speaking. I think I might be getting a bit ground down by the sheer torrent of football. I mean, four games a day is... We did four games yesterday watching it. I might be overblowing it a little bit. How are you doing with the World Cup, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. I'm not watching all the games. Just because I'm working, so I'm not able to.
that's probably the secret.
but I'm trying to catch what I can. Usually it's the last two, the 4 o'clock and the 7 o'clock I've been watching. Yeah, so not too bad in terms of the amount of football, I guess. But I think it's been an interesting mix. There's been some exciting football, but quite a few drab 0-0 draws in there as well. And the world's longest amount of added time.
Yeah, that's an interesting trend, which I kind of like it, because they're clearly picking up the bits of the game that annoy me. And I don't know if I'm right to get annoyed, whether it's you're showing your age in this, the endless goal celebrations and the game management side of the, you know, everyone. We're talking to Harry the other day and he says there's an art form to it, and I get that. But it's good to see game management being punished. Where do you stand on the issue? Do you approve of this 8, 9, 10 minutes extra time added on, or do you feel unsettled with it?
Yeah, I do. I think it's probably, we'd all agree, it's probably too long at the moment. But I wonder if that's because players haven't stopped time wasting yet, and that kind of thing. So that will, I think, come down. I did hear someone speculate a little while ago that it's the idea of them doing this now is so that we'll all become a little bit more open to this 60-minute a game when the clock starts idea, which I think came up about a year ago and has sort of vanished into the ether. And it sort of seems to be an idea that's creeping back in again as a concept to change football, which I'm not so keen on, I don't think.
You're not. I was going to say I don't mind that. I think if you have a set period of play, I mean, they do it in basketball, don't they? And all of the American sports, for that matter, apart from baseball, they have a game time clock which runs down. So you I think the idea in football is so you'd have something like a 35-minute game time clock which stops running when the ball goes out of play. I don't know if that means for every throw in or whether it means for goal kicks or you know free kicks or whatever, how they're going to do it. I'm actually more sympathetic to it. I'm sympathetic to the idea of adding on added time, because for me the game is really noticeable in recent years how this game management thing has taken hold. And I know we do it too. We do it at Millwall, don't we? But it always aggravates me when you see a team that's just scored an everyday championship goal, including us, which, you know, it puts us in front of an everyday championship fixture, you know, and the celebration is akin to something, you know, like we've just lifted the European Cup or something. And every team does it now. They'll run to the corner, they'll mob each other. I think there's a place to reel that back in a little bit. And if that's what it takes, then I'm personally all for it. I'd be interested to know what the listeners think to the show. And if even a game time countdown clock, I suppose the difficulty with that, Ben, will be you can't do it in every fixture. You'd only be doing it in stadium type fixtures where you've got the facility of a countdown clock in the ground that's visible to everybody. You know, you'd be hard pushed to do it at your Essex Senior League level, or you know, Isthmian Premier, or whatever. You know, that would be a bit exclusive, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and grassroots school football, that kind of thing. It's another step to separating it for me. It's another step to separating it from the game of football, and the Premier League has done a lot to do that already, I think. I think that's why I'm more hesitant on it for me. I would rather we kept it like it is now. And this idea of having a stopwatch and every time it's gone off and they're taking too long to take a goal kick or celebrate a goal or whatever, at that time gets added on at the end. And I think by doing that, the big teams will stop doing it because they want, you know, they don't want to concede a 99th minute equaliser or whatever.
I think that separation is a good point. I mean, VAR separates the game completely, doesn't it? Because not everyone can organise to have VAR. You certainly can't have it at the lower league level. Sorry, the cat's just chewing at my headphone lead here. So I'm sure you don't get this on professionally done podcast, listeners. Get away, Jack. Come. Yeah, I suppose it is this idea increasing that there's an elite sport and your park football or your lower league football is something removed from that, which is not to be applauded. The standard of football in the World Cup overall has been fairly hard working, veering towards the mundane, but illuminated by these magic moments of individual talent. Similar point to what we've just been touching on, Ben, that, you know, the kind of emergence of the Mbappe moments of brilliance, the Richarlison goal, the Messi goal for Argentina. Mm-hmm. A lot of teams are much of a muchness, but it's whether you have your kind of your great master in your team. You know, not everyone will have that. England don't have it, I don't think. But France very much do. The Brazilians do in Richarlison, and obviously Messi for the Argentines. That's the emerging streak that seems to be coming forwards in the last few games, I felt.
Has that not always been the case for World Cups? I don't know. Hasn't that been...
Yeah, probably.
It's easy to forget World Cups, and you all you remember really is the magic moments and the moments of brilliance. And I think this is probably a standard World Cup in that sense. I don't think it's that different. There's always some rubbish teams in the group stages, and there's always some good teams that underperform in the group stages. And then I think once you hit the sort of quarterfinal stage, I think it will probably be quite entertaining.
I mean, one of the things that's always struck me with the ever-expanding World Cup, I'm old enough, listeners, to remember a 16-team World Cup back in the early 70s, you know. But as the tournament has expanded, and we've now got 32, and I did read that the next World Cup, Ben's going to be a 48-team World Cup, which seems... I mean, what I would say is, in fairness to this particular tournament, it's only really Qatar and maybe Costa Rica who are really quite clearly out of their depth. A lot of other teams that once upon a time you would have said are second-string nations. I'm probably thinking here of the Saudi Arabias and the even the USAs, to be blunt. They're coming along. They're strong and they're hard-working sides. And you're seeing a lot more Iran, you know, maybe not brilliant, but they're certainly contenders in individual matches. And that's quite an interesting development. Maybe that is the result of the expansion of the tournament size. The more you include nations, the more they improve.
Yeah, I suspect so. It makes for a better experience watching international football.
Yeah,
that's nice. It is always better than the qualifiers where you're playing, you know, teams that barely have 11 people that can play football and that kind of thing. And I think it's, you know, getting to a tournament is always exciting. And I think for these countries that don't always make the tournament and do produce surprises every now and again, it's such a massive experience for them. They're not always playing in these tournaments. You know, no. We're lucky as England fans. It's unusual for us to miss one. And it's unusual for us not to, you know, be in the knockout stages and that kind of thing. So, I think it's a good thing for football that these teams are as good as they are.
We've mentioned the USA already. I've just been making some notes to myself. The kind of are Gareth Southgate and Gary Rowett soulmates? Are they you know, kind of children of the same family? This kind of favouring of caution over flair. Obviously, there's a big debate as to whether Ben Foden should or shouldn't have come on versus the Americans on Friday night in that really. I thought we were quite fortunate to get away with a 0-0 draw, Ben. I mean, you know, the US hit the crossbar, I remember, and looked like a really strong, industrious side without maybe the true star quality that maybe other nations that, you know, that the separation of the other nations. But I thought we got away by the skin of our teeth, personally, England, on Friday night.
For me, it's Mount. How Mount starts over Foden, I will never understand.
Don't know. This is like Rowett playing George Evans, isn't it? You know, it's this kind of obsession with the average. You know, it's what do these managers see that we don't? I don't know.
It's a weird experience at the moment, being a Millwall fan and an England fan. Usually, an international break is like a change of scenery for you're watching football, and then for us, it's just more of the same, just with different names.
Well, both teams, really. I mean, rightly or wrongly, I don't know, but I mean, both Millwall and England have a sense that we're playing with what's the cliche? The handbrake is on. You know, we're playing with a handbrake on rather than unleashing the talent. We've both got these kind of geniuses that sit on the bench, Ben Foden for England and Tyler Bury that sits on the Millwall bench. And there's always this very weird sense that both Southgate and, in fairness to Gary Rowett, they're both actually doing much better than their reputations seem to, you know, portray. Because I'm looking at I'm looking at the BBC website. We're top of the group, Ben, in the World Cup. England top of the group. Avoiding a five-goal loss against Wales puts us into the knockout phase. And equally, as we've said a few times on the show, at the break of the EFL, then Millwall are in sixth spot. So both England and Millwall are actually doing much better than maybe the management's public persona implies at times. It's a very odd game, football, in that way, isn't it?
Yeah, we're both excited about where we are and where we could finish, and
raging.
Ready to be frustrated and calling for the manager to be sacked at any moment. I don't know.
It's a very odd mix. I went round to the corner shop yesterday, round where I live here, and got a pint of milk, and I saw my first England car with two flags, the only one I've seen actually, with the St George's crosses fluttering on the aerials or whatever it is they put up there, you know. And there's one house, we've got one house around here with a St George's cross draped from its window. And it's this kind of half-hearted applause of success at the moment, isn't it? I mean, we're all the same, really. We are doing pretty well, but somehow you wouldn't get a sense of it reading the Twitter and the message boards and all the rest of it. There's a very mixed, yeah. mixed approach to success.
It's funny with England. It's I sort of predicted exactly what's happened so far. I thought we'd beat Iran.
Did you?
I thought we'd draw against the USA, and I think we'll beat Wales. And we'll go through on points comfortably, but it'll feel a little bit more tricky than it was, or than it should have been. And beating Iran so comfortably the other day lured me into that false sense of security and that we're going to absolutely demolish the United States. And I should have stuck to my guns and, you know.
This is what I'm wary of. We've just been to Preston and beat them 4-2. Yeah. I'm still buzzed from that. I'm expecting that game at Sunderland, which is now next week, listeners, next Saturday for Millwall back again. I'm expecting us to do well up there, get a result. And I don't know what I base this, you know, all experience, all my 50 years tells me it's a long northern away trip, a difficult Sunday morning, Saturday morning kickoff time, so why do we expect success? But this is the electricity of football. This is what we're expecting now. England to stuff Wales, and I'm expecting Millwall to put a few past Sunderland at the Stadium of Light. We shall see. I suppose life could be worse, Ben. I mean, you know, just looking at today's fixtures, Spain versus Germany is the big game of the day, 7 o'clock kickoff. I mean, Germany three times winners of the World Cup are looking at going home early. Well, you know, again, another theme of England and Millwall following life is this high expectations at odds with all of our experience. Because, I mean, we can't match the German track record for silverware, and yet they're looking at going home, and we're not. We're looking at, you know, managing the knockout round. So, you know, it could be a lot gloomier, couldn't it? I think sometimes we don't tend to look at the bright side enough.
Oh, God, it'd be a shame if Spain won, wouldn't it? Oh, you'd be heartbroken.
There we are. Schadenfreude is a German word. It means taking pleasure in the misfortunes of your neighbours. There we are. Bit of intellectual chit chat there for the listeners. One all draw yesterday for Millwall, Ben. Bronby, I didn't watch it. I don't know if you saw any of the friendly game.
Yeah, I got it on the stream. So,
did you watch it?
I was watching from home.
Sounded an interesting starting 11 with Roman Essay starting one of the academy attacking midfielders. He sounds like he's a prospect.
He was really lively. I really liked him. He was keen to get involved and didn't look like he was playing his first game for us. It looked like he'd had a few matches and knew the team well.
Yeah.
I was really impressed with him. I thought that first half, I think we were better in the first half. There was a lot of changes in the second half, and that changes the flow of the game, I think.
Yeah.
I think the first half we looked in good form still, and could have scored a couple. Again, they had a couple of chances as well, but I think they've got quite a prolific striker. And
Don't see 60 odd goals or something on this.
Yeah, they've got a couple of players that can cause problems. And I think it was a good match, actually, in that sense, particularly the first half for me.
I'm hoping that we've got conversations going on behind the scenes to maybe look at this particular striker. I can't remember his track record, but he's for Bromby, and he was over 60-odd goals in the Danish league. So he sounds like quite a prospect. Let's hope that, you know, we are interested in that kind of level of striker. There's an interesting article on the... I mentioned it the other day with Neil on the London News Online about the backstory to signing up Zian Fleming. There's a lot of work that goes into bringing these signings off. I'm hoping that Bronby, you know, was not just a random choice of club, that maybe there are some conversations going on to maybe bring in some of the talent. But it sounds like, the you know, we've got some coming for our own academy, but we can always look at goal scorers as well. I don't know how many were there yesterday. Was it? I suppose I didn't. It looked like the stadium was pretty empty, apart from, I imagine, the West Stand. You know, it's hard to tell from the images I've seen.
Where they sit the fans in these games, it's directly where the camera is. So all you can see is the completely empty stadium.
Yeah.
It was a weird sort of flashback to the lockdown games in a strange way. Just looking at an empty... I was half expecting those cardboard cutouts to turn up. And
The crowdies, yeah, whatever happened to the crowdies. What did happen to the crowdies? Did people get them back? I don't know what happened to them. But anyway.
I think you could come and collect them. And if you didn't collect them, then I guess they ended up...
Slug them away, I suppose. Or chuck them, I suppose. But
Yeah.
I mean, we're back in action next Saturday. We just mentioned the trip to Sunderland, 12:30 kickoff, which I believe
I've seen quite a lot of pessimistic Sunderland fans. Which I'm not sure if that bodes well for us or not, but I've seen a few comments saying you might as well just give Millwall the 3 points and that kind of thing. So,
well, that would do us. We'll take it if that's the case. I believe it's on Sky TV. I think it's a live game. We've got this very odd mix of the World Cup going on, and I noticed Ebb's Fleet are kicking off at 12:30. So you go from the World Tournament in Qatar to Gravesend. I think we're a live game next Saturday. It's quite nice to get back into league action, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I wasn't sure because it was the game that we were meant to play, and then it was the Queen's funeral or something.
It was, and this is the rearranged fixture as a consequence. I don't know. I'll have to do some research on that. Let's hope it is on TV. It's quite a... You know, it's okay. It's a rearranged fixture. It's nice to get back into league action as soon as possible, but it's a bit of a mare of a journey to get up there for a half 12 start. You know, it's some of the fixtures we've got going ahead over the next few weeks and Christmas period are pretty supporter unfriendly. I think we've got one game at Luton that's on the World Cup final day.
That's a joke. That one. That game will finish just before 2 o'clock, and I think the World Cup kicks off at 3. I really think that's incredibly harsh on any fan that goes to that game, even Luton fans, but particularly Millwall. I think that's...
You've got no chance of getting back into the game.
Had that been any other fixture other than Luton and Millwall, I think that would have caused some uproar.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Achtung, Millwall.
12:30 Sunderland next Saturday. The week after, it's 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock kickoff at home to Wigan. And then Luton at 12 o'clock on Sunday the 18th. That's World Cup final day. Let's look at the optimistic side and hope that England are involved. That will be a bit of a mare of a day. So, you being serious, you probably have to take to a pub in Luton if you're going to go away and then want to see that. That game, which won't, not many Millwall friendly pubs in Luton. So
best of wishes to everyone that goes up there for that. We've got the 12 o'clock game on Boxing Day at Watford as well. There's one or two, that's not so difficult to get to, but I suppose much depends on the public transport system for that. But we've got one or two, as I say, unfriendly kickoff times going ahead. It's a big month looking ahead there, Ben. I mean, you know, Sunderland away, Wigan at home, Luton, Watford will be, let's see what we get. And then we've got Bristol City at home. There's a big five-game December, points to be had, and games that I think we ought to be expecting to get something out of there.
Yeah, a couple of away games. That's the thing for us this season. We've got to sort our away form out.
We don't travel well, do we?
I know we won the last one, but the form hasn't been good over the season. So,
no.
If we can even just, on average, draw an away game and win our home games, that's playoff form. Keep that going, and hopefully Preston is a bit of momentum for us, and this break hasn't caused too many problems in that sense.
No, I mean, certainly the belief is going to be the key point, because those are, you know, fixtures that I think that we should look to be winning at least half of them. And as you say, avoiding defeat is probably going to be the main thing away from home on the road, particularly at Watford, perhaps, possibly at Luton. I don't know. They're always awkward little. I mean, the Luton game is always a bit of a awkward little fixture, isn't it? It's a small ground, not particularly glamorous place to be going to, nor is Watford for that matter. But these are the kinds of games where you need to grind out results if you're going to be a contender at the end of the season. FA Cup draw day today as well. It's always nice to have a cup run, but I wonder whether it will be the classic diversion, depending on, we'll probably draw Arsenal or West Ham, in which case that will all go out the window. But, I really do want us to be focusing on the league this season rather than the cup. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, we've not had a good cup run in a little while. So one part of me thinks it would be quite fun. But the other part of me agrees with you. I think if we're going to do well in the league and make that top six, I think this is the year that we can do it. I worry if we don't, players like Fleming will be picked off, and it might be a bit tricky. So I would like us to focus on the league, because I think we've got a good squad this year. I think we're in a good place. The formation is working, and in the Preston game, it wasn't working so well at the first half, and Rowett tweaked it and changed. I think he went to about five. And that's the sort of thing that Rowett did at the start of his time at Millwall. He made little changes, and he brought players on, made subs a little bit earlier and tweaked the formation for particular games. Yeah. And we did really well out of that. And I think if he's coming back to that kind of management, I'm excited about the potential that we have.
Well, we've mentioned the emergence of the stars in the World Cup. Let's hope we've got the emergence of the talent at Millwall as well. I mean, Roman Essay, we've mentioned. Abdul Malik apparently played yesterday briefly. And there's stories on the Millwall news sites about identifying targets for January. I mean, I do think we've got a big January transfer window, in the sense of, are we seriously going to go for it? Are we going to develop build on what we've got? I think a lot remains to be seen as January comes into sight there, Ben. It's going to be an interesting period ahead, I think.
At the moment, it's injuries. If we can steer clear of some injuries, we've got a decent squad. But we've got quite a few injury-prone players. So I think if we're going to get someone in January, for me, it's just about strengthening that
goal scoring, I think, is the thing. Isn't it?
And that as well, yeah. I was really pleased we got Benik Afobe, but he's not been there this season, really. He's not been... I know he's been injured recently, but he's just not been in form. Fleming is really exciting. I think Bradshaw is showing fits and starts, and is...
It was a nice goal he got yesterday. I think the cross was a Murray Wallace cross. Yeah. And it was a nice little delicate flick header from Tom Bradshaw, which got the goal. And then we conceded late, I believe. As I said, I haven't seen it. I'm only going by the written account on the club website. But I did see a video clip of the goal, Ben, and it looked pretty good take.
Yeah, it was. In real time, I thought Murray Wallace had just scored it. I thought it was an incredible goal. And then you watch one of the replays is from behind the goal, and you can see that Bradshaw just gets a touch to it. It was a good goal. We'd all be celebrating that like wild in the stands had it been a league game.
I'm looking forward to getting back down to Den, mate. It seems to be ages since I've been to Millwall. I don't do friendlies, listeners, but I am looking forward to getting back for that Wigan game on December the 10th. It's going to be nice to see how this little storyline plays out. The other thing that was interesting, I mean, we mentioned it the other day, is the retail, the Lions Club shoppers, I'm not laughing. I don't know why I'm laughing. It's not laughing subject really. But the company that runs the club shop has gone into administration, which means that I think we're stuck for trading with the club store at the moment, which is an odd situation going into Christmas. I always think the club shop should be bigger than it is, and maybe it's an easy thing to say as an outsider. I don't know. I don't know if I'm being unfair on the staff and the club in that way, but the gear in there never looks to be all that brilliant to me. And I always think they should be better. But I don't know if I'm being unfair in that. I mean, do you ever go in a club shop, Ben? Do you ever buy any gear at the club shop?
The only thing I buy is usually a training top. And that's because I'm a teacher and I have to teach PE. And I think if I'm going to wear a...
You want a Millwall training shirt?
I might as well wear a Millwall one. So I tend to buy that. And other than that, you're right. I look every year and I have a look around and see if there's anything that takes my fancy. And it's always pretty crap.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I'm being a bit unfair. I suppose the counterpoint to that is, well, what would you put in there that's not in there already? It's just that sometimes the choices of, I don't know, the T-shirts, the slogans, maybe there's difficulties in pandering to the no one likes us, we don't care thing, I don't know. But I just think it could be a real money spinner, and yet somehow it's always a bit of a buy the way at Millwall. Always has been so.
We all just want a line on a polo shirt, don't we, really?
That's the classic, yeah. Put it on a decent polo shirt and I think people will buy, you know. Anyway, the Lions store is temporarily closed just as Christmas looms. Let's hope they get that sorted and back online.
To be fair to the club, as I understand it, it's not the club's fault.
Elite Sports Group, yeah.
Yeah, and they work with the kit manufacturer, so
Hummel,
we're with them because of Hummel, they've gone under, and it's not just us. It's I think Coventry, Southampton. There's a few clubs that have had to do the same thing, so it's an issue from their end, not our end. But
it's nothing Millwall related in that sense. Yeah. It's the third party has kind of keeled over, you know.
Of all the times for the club shop to have to close, this is the worst, isn't it? What an absolute disaster.
Well,
for the club.
It's disaster at pre-Christmas, that's right.
Yeah.
I'm just an interesting story. I've done no prep for this, listeners. You don't expect me to do prep, do you? I've dragged Ben on his Sunday morning away from his breakfast to talk to me, and I've given him nothing to work with other than whatever occurs to me as we're speaking. But there's an interesting article on The Athletic about talking about kits. The clash of kits. Nike apparently is the most popular kit manufacturer at the World Cup. 13 sides wear Nike, with Adidas coming in second, very much second. It was seven. Hummel, Ben, which is the only our kit manufacturer, is featured, but only one team. I suppose that's the Danish side that wear Hummel. Other than that, it's very much a Nike World Cup. The England shirt, I think, is absolutely disgusting. I think the US, this is an American company, of course, but I don't know this. Why there's this thing about Nike as a manufacturer, I don't quite get, because they just look so clunky. All their gear looks clunky to me. Not that I would wear it, but the England shirt particularly, it's awful. Do you agree or do you think it's okay?
It's absolutely, it is rubbish. The white one with the blue shoulders is
It looks like tie-dye. I mean, older listeners will remember tie-dye T-shirts. It looks like they've got a tie-dye insert on it. It's very odd. I don't know.
I've been watching quite a lot of the international women's game and obviously the Euros over the summer. And they played the USA a few months ago. And they're absolutely fantastic. The England women's team is amazing to watch at the moment. And their kits are really good. I really like their kit, right. And they've got like this, the England badge is kind of silver.
There's a few have done things like that. It's like a one color kind of shirt where
the
badge is there, but it's good. I'm fine with that. I mean, it's just interesting to see this death struggle between Nike and Adidas, and the Puma are there, but I think one I've lost the story now. Very much it's a Nike World Cup with Adidas picking up the rear. The other thing that made me laugh, and I don't know, is Lionel Messi has sold his soul to the devil, Ben. Apparently he's got a deal going with the Saudi Arabian government to promote tourism, and particularly they've got a World Cup bid coming. Saudi Arabia wants the 2030 World Cup. There are two seen as two favourites, listeners, for this next extravaganza. The next one's in the USA in 2026, USA, Canada, and I think Mexico. But increasingly, you're seeing multi-nation bids now for these tournaments. I suppose the amount of money it costs to stage it, Ben. But the two main bids in 2030 will be Saudi Arabia on the one hand and South America, a grouping of Uruguay, Chile and Argentina on the other. So, but Messi has sold his soul to the Saudis, so he's going to possibly be working against an Argentine World Cup, which I think is kind of karma, isn't it? If it comes to,
it yeah, comes that'd be to... I've heard that we're putting a bid together. I've heard that I think it was Wales, Scotland, and England are putting a bid together for one of them. I don't know if that's 2030 or 2034 or something, but.
Maybe. I mean, I think they try and alternate it. I suppose the next one's in America, North America. So possibly it used to be that they alternated between South America and Europe. But I think now they rotate them more between the five continents. Obviously with Qatar, I don't know if that's classed as an Asian grouping, I suppose. I don't know. So the next one being North America. But I don't know if they still retain that. A South American World Cup, I suppose, would be logical. And also you got the anniversary of the 100 years anniversary of the first World Cup, which was in Uruguay in 1930. So that would also add weight to that. Where that leaves poor old Lionel, I don't know. Counting his bank balance, I think, looking at the piece here, he's doing a lot of work promoting the Saudis. So interesting stuff for the future.
It's going to be very interesting in that obviously this has been a really controversial World Cup in terms of the bid and awarding it to Qatar in the first place. And Russia was quite controversial in 2018. Yeah. And I think if you're running any business, you think if you've had two very controversial choices for your biggest show, you'd think let's go safe and go easy for the next couple and just
let's go to a football hotbed, like South America, which
so they've gone for the USA, which is probably quite a safe choice, I imagine. So 2030, all eyes are going to be on that one to see. I can only imagine if they pick Saudi Arabia and it's all money led. I don't know. I can just see there being the same sort of headlines again. And that's not to say that Saudi Arabia are doing the same sort of thing, but.
No. Well, it won't want some money there, will it? I mean, I did see that this one has cost, Qatar's cost $220 billion. I mean, the stadia look really spectacular. I know they're in the middle of a desert. And so you do get this sense of like a tent. I mean, the stadium I was looking at last night, like an illuminated tent in the vast desert, which is quite spectacular from the visual point of view. And I guess the Saudis would throw money at it on a par, if not try and outdo Qatar in that sense. So they won't want for money. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting one to see how it works out. One thing that did strike me was the intense support that Saudi Arabia had in their game yesterday. Who was it they were playing? They lost out, didn't they, in the match yesterday? I can't think of who they're playing there. But the number and volume of Saudi fans, you know, I would have said that you'd take it to a football hotbed such as Argentina, Uruguay and Chile and so on. But I wonder whether these countries and the USA, you know, they're taking a lot of fans over to Qatar. Maybe it's now they also are becoming football hotbeds in a way that arguably Qatar isn't at the minute. But it's going to be an interesting thing.
The Mexican support is huge over there, apparently. The game between Argentina and Mexico had a massive atmosphere.
Yeah.
And they were saying in the stadium, they said it was probably the biggest atmosphere they'd felt at this World Cup.
Yeah.
And
it benefited for it. I mean, it was, you know, I think some of the early round games felt a bit flat and a little bit like you're playing in a leisure centre or something with no one there, you know. But that game yesterday, I mean, some of the more recent, as the fixtures get bigger and I think as more comes on the line, maybe you get more people going over there for the knockout phase. I don't know, but no, fair play to the atmosphere and also the Argentina Mexico game last night. That was an intense atmosphere as well. Mm. As we've said, illuminated by Lionel Messi, the man himself. Ben, we've managed. When we began this conversation, listeners, I said to Ben, I don't know how long we'll get out of this because I've got no notes and I've done very flimsy prep for it. Like as in zero. We've managed to talk our way through the entire first half of Japan, Costa Rica, which is 0-0. So we've missed nothing, but I think we've had a better time of it talking on the Zoom link today, Ben.
Our ability to talk complete nonsense is remarkable.
It is remarkable. I've always struggled, listeners, to know what my talent in life is, and it seems to be that I can waffle on for ages about very flimsy football-related subjects. So, Ben, it's good to meet a soulmate, mate. Thank you very much for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it.
No worries. Where do you reckon England are going to finish?
I think we'll beat Wales. We've got to beat Wales, haven't we? I think we'll struggle in the knockout phases. And the reason we'll struggle is that although everyone's been praising the defensive performance against the Americans, I thought we got lucky. They hit the crossbar. They looked pretty good. I think we'll struggle against what I would call decent sides. And I think it's even the Netherlands or Ecuador probably that we'll face in the round of 16. And then potentially, is it France, I think, in the quarters? And
yeah.
I just think that we, decent sides, the kind of talent that we've seen with the French particularly, even to some level, I thought Ecuador and the Netherlands look pretty dangerous going forwards. I just think if we come up against a decent attack, we'll struggle. I think we'll get into the knockout phase, obviously. Well, that's still a possibility that we won't, but it looks like it's a long shot. I just think we'll struggle against a decent side when we get into that point. How do you see it?
Yeah, I think we'll get through the round of 16 for me. I think it'll be quarterfinals that we'll struggle.
Probably France.
Yeah, it's likely to be France. And I think that's where we'll come unstuck. Mbappe against Maguire is a worrying prospect, I think. So.
Very hard. In fairness, you know, in fairness to Harry Maguire, who gets a lot of stick, if you're going to come up against truly top level talent, and I think you've got to put Mbappe, even though he's got a vaguely annoying quality to him, I find him quite annoying. You've got to take your hat off to talent that can just turn a game like he can and did the other night. So I think most teams will struggle against that level of quality. Do you see a winner of the tournament yet? I mean, I know that I suppose Brazil will be the obvious choice. Have you seen anyone that? Are you seeing beyond Brazil, France, that level?
It's them two, really. Brazil and France are the two favourites, and I think they're favourites for a reason. A lot of people were saying Argentina, but I think that's just because they quite like Messi to win a World Cup. But I can't see it myself.
Yeah, no, I agree. Incidentally, just on a tangent, I'm just looking at the BBC website, and there's a story here about Jurgen Klinsmann wants to calm down, inverted commas, calm down his row with Carlos Queiroz of the Iran. I was just looking at this clip before I came on the call with you today, Ben. Klinsmann went off on a really good, opinionated barroom style rant about the Iranian footballing culture and how they work the referee, and they fall over and they all shout in unison from the bench at the fourth official and the linesman and the referee, and really try and bully the match officials. And I thought, this is a laugh coming from Jürgen Klinsmann, who was like a world-class worker of the referee and a diver and all the rest of it. But anyway, he went on this wonderful rant. It's the kind of television you want to see more of. It's almost reminded me of the 1970s where, you know, the football panel would actually come out with strong opinions that possibly would be expressed in the bar afterwards. But this was good. Mm. But now he's trying to calm down the row. I don't know what he's saying to backtrack on it, because he went quite a long way in condemning Carlos Queiroz and the Iranian football culture. I don't know how you turn that around and say, I'm sorry I said it, you know, if you don't believe it.
FIFA described Ronaldo's it looked a sort of a half dive, just about a penalty, and they described it as genius.
Genius if it benefits you, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great stuff, Ben Anthony. Really, really appreciate your time this morning, mate. Thank you for coming on the show.
Pleasure, mate.
And he's hoping that England do at least progress into the quarterfinals. At least we'll see where we go from there. Till the next edition of Achtung World Cup. Big thank you to Ben. Thank you for listening, dear listeners, and bye for now.
Achtung, Millwall.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.